to remind us why we come to worship. You wish to see Jesus. We all wish to see Jesus. Those who have first asked this famous question were Greeks. They were told in this reading that they were from an area where they would have been known to be Greeks. They were not expecting a Messiah, in other words, but they had heard of a man, Jesus, and they wanted to see him for themselves. They had undoubtedly heard that Jesus had recently raised Lazarus from the dead. And last and perhaps most remarkable miracle he performed. They had indeed heard about Jesus' recent triumphal entry into Jerusalem on the day which we will celebrate next Sunday as Palm Sunday. So naturally, they wanted to see Jesus for themselves. Who wouldn't? However, there is no record that the Greeks actually get to see Jesus that day. We have reached the fifth Sunday in Lent. We are coming closer and closer to the cross. And in our readings, Jesus clearly has his eyes fixed on the cross. At this point in Lent, the cross is the lens with which we view everything. John shows us Jesus looking into the future and talking about the kind of death he will die. He has a certainty about his future that we will never have about our future. But that's the difference between us and God, I guess. And so, I agree with the Greeks. I want to see Jesus. Jesus sees the Greeks as an advanced scouting party for all people to show that it's just not the Gentiles, but it's all people who will be drawn to him and all people who will be lifted up. We would all love that, right? Some proof that God's love is real despite the pain in our world. But we don't have Andrew or Philip to take us by the hand and lead us to Jesus. We have to take it on faith that Jesus is with us. Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life will lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. No, it is for this reason I have come to this hour. And we often think that way too, don't we? Save me from this hour. Maybe as we read the scriptures, perhaps as we hear this very passage, why does Jesus have to be so negative? Why so morbid? Why can't he cheer up? Because he knows the fate. He knows what is coming. That's often what we would like, is for Jesus to be upbeat and happy. But he knows what the prophets have said. Going to an average Christian bookstore, you'll find all kinds of little sayings. My favorite is from Jeremiah 29. I have plans for you, says the Lord. They're to prosper you and not to harm you. It's a plaque. I have it on the cover of my Bible. I have it on the little stand where my plants are. You know, that one would be pretty nice. But you don't see the ones that say, Now my soul is troubled. Father, save me from this hour. Doesn't fit nicely on a plaque. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. That's what we want. We prefer something a bit more optimistic than save me from this hour. Jesus uses the image of the seed and a grain of wheat to speak of his sacrifice. When he says, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears fruit. He is saying there is no life without death. He is saying there is no life without death. Most seeds are planted in the ground. That seed goes into the dark earth, which is where we put things that are dead. It's dark. It's cold. There may be an occasional worm down there. Maybe the seed doesn't want to open in such an environment. Perhaps it's better to stay safe and enclosed. But inside that seed is life, waiting to get out, pushing to get out. Unless that seed breaks open, the life inside it will wither and die. Unless we break open, the life inside of us will wither and die. Be the grain that bears fruit. A seed is a mystery. It is both beginning and end. It is life and death, nothing and everything. A seed sits easily in the palm, yet grows into living structures, sometimes the size of a house. It is a single grain, yet it is the source of thousands of grains. It may be stored for many years and then stirred into life in days. A seed is the whole universe in just that little grain. Jesus recognizes that the hour has come and explains what will happen to us and will happen to him with this parable, the parable of the grain of wheat. We need to concentrate greatly on the imagination. We start with this tiny grain of wheat. It can sit in the palm of your hand and it does absolutely nothing. I mean, nothing, just sits there. If you let it, it just sits there and will continue to sit there forever. How boring. But that grain of wheat, put that grain of wheat in a transparent plastic cup, like you did in kindergarten, remember? Fill it with soil, and it continues to just sit there. Push it into the soil and add a small amount of water to dampen the soil. It still sits there. It's dead. Forget about it. Nothing's going to happen. It's boring. But then something starts to happen. You can't see it at first, but the grain absorbs the water. You can't see it, but an embryo grows using the food stored in the grain. A tiny root starts to appear, anchoring the grain to the soil, which grows bigger. It absorbs the water, the nutrients from the soil. A shoot appears out of that tiny little cup. A leaf then appears, followed by many more. You can plant it into the ground and it grows and it grows and the pollen is released and it is fertilized. A new grain grows, a wheat ear is formed. With many individual grains of wheat, they are very soft and delicate. The grains become harder and drier and are even eventually rest for the harvest. That single grain of wheat turns into many grains of wheat. It's a miracle of nature. This is an example of a miracle that is truly wonderful because this happens every year. Jesus is using this miracle of nature to explain what was going to happen, what must happen to him in Jerusalem. A grain of wheat must fall into the ground and be buried, and the outer husk must break open for the new shoot to grow. If it is just left alone in the dirt with no water, it'll eventually die. You be the grain that bears fruit. And so a seed is a rich symbol of the process of living and dying. Unsurprisingly, the seed is often used in faith traditions to illustrate the spiritual journey and the moving from one season to the next. In the Christian tradition, Jesus often used the imagery of agriculture, the language of the land. He spoke about crops and weeds, good and bad soil, sowing and harvesting. Jesus wisely rooted his teaching in the things that people could understand. And he used the symbol to illustrate a profound message about what it meant to be human and live a life of the Spirit. "Very truly, I tell you," said Jesus, "unless a grain of wheat falls onto the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. If it dies, it will bear fruit with the nourishment and the water and the life that is within it." This image reminds us of a truth written into the whole of creation, that life can only come from death. The grain of wheat is ineffective and unproductive as long as it is kept away from the soil. But when it is cast into the ground, into the earth's cold tomb, then life comes from within. If the species of the plant is to continue, then its seeds must change, be transformed, and lose its identity so that the new plant may grow. If the seed is kept safe and secure, it will not bring forth anything new. Be the grain that bears fruit. There lies the answer. Whatever our grain of wheat life might be, for better, for worse, in faith or fear, Jesus tells us that it needs to fall onto the earth and die for it to flourish and grow. We need to lose the worldly trapping and fear and follow him. Because through his Spirit that we hold within us and we follow him, there will be a pathway to the Father, our Creator, our homeland, our peace. No matter what the circumstances are, we will get through this together. And we will get there in the end. When we take up the mantle of disciple of Jesus Christ, really choosing to love and follow him wherever he leads, we are choosing to be planted as seeds, allowing ourselves to be broken open so God's life in us can get out. We follow Jesus into the dark, allow ourselves to be broken and transformed from a seed into a seedling, and then a plant that bears abundant fruit. That's the trajectory of a disciple. Planted, broken, altered, and fruitful. That's the trajectory of a disciple fully engaged in God's mission to reclaim, restore, and renew all of humankind in the wholeness of Christ. That's what God spoke through the prophet Jeremiah. "The time is coming when I'll put my law within them and write it on your hearts. and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. God will not rest until all of creation is made whole. In the midst of the crowd, Jesus spoke about how his soul was troubled and asked God to save him from this hour. Soon the seed that was his life will be buried in the soil, and at that moment, no one knew what the future would hold. It's a matter of faith. In the meantime, my friends, gather up your seeds, all of them. Hold them close. Take your wild hope. Take that seed and your dream seed and your anticipation seeds and the seeds of the future and give them to Jesus. Let him put the seeds in a bag and throw them over his shoulder as he is carrying the cross. Let it all go into the deep, dark earth where seeds go to live. What happens from there is a secret, a mystery. But we have his word. He said a single grain of wheat holds the secret of life and death. Jesus was about discovering that mystery in his life. Soon we will too. Be the grain that bears fruit. Amen.